for a little break after Pesach. Next year will be the first whatever, when I don't know what's happening about going back to shul, but the first opportunity in a year, whatever opportunity that is. So let's try and wrap up a few shilas and maybe discuss a new one and get clear on those before we have this little break. So, Tuli, take us away. Take us to the Mar Makomas. So, we've established halakhically, we've seen in the past few weeks, that in the Gemara, there seems to be a case where even although the worker didn't perform all the work, he still gets paid the whole lot. That's the boat case. And we want to know what's special about that. Up to now, we understood he only gets paid for what he does. So the chazanish is machadish to us that the din is you only get paid a whole lot, says the chazanish, le'olam schar shamaskel noto kolubo achayis shalosfina, shalosfina. He's not getting paid for nothing. He's getting paid not just for the job, he's also getting paid for that the job causes any damage to the worker as well. You're taking like a betuach, the money that you're promising is the maximum betuach that you're going to pay, even if the job doesn't go through, but the job caused a damage, of monetary damage to items of the worker, you're going to also have to pay. And therefore, if it sinks the ship, then you're going to have to pay, not for nothing, because you then the betuach kicks in. So there's never a situation that we've seen so far that you don't pay for no reason. You don't, if you have, you only either pay for what's performed, that if the half the job is, you only get paid for half job. And sometimes you get paid a whole lot, not because it's done, you get paid for a whole lot. You get paid because there's an additional factor that you also pay for the job causing any damage to the items, the materials of the work in the course of that job. Okay. So therefore, with the Gan Eden, we said in such a scenario that she hasn't got any damage to her personal items. She just hasn't got any business because she's in bidud, she's got corona, she can't work, because the onus stops her completing the job. Fine, she only gets paid for what she does, not paid she doesn't, what she hasn't performed. She's got no patur insurance policy over there because nothing was damaged on the course of the job through that item. Yeah, through that's the pastures by the gun case which she concluded. Okay, so let's move on after establishing that fact. Let's move on to another shayla and see whether additional factors will change the results in some of the cases. And that is the following case. If you move slightly down, Tuli, we're going to discuss a ma'aseh shehayu like this. Reuven and Shimon create a partnership together. And as good partners, clever partners, I would call it, you have a proper contract that defines the relationship between the partners, and you get a good lawyer to draw up a proper contract defining all the different scenarios, relationships of between the partners, between Reuven and Shimon. Okay, so part of one of the clauses is that if there's any dispute about some issue amongst the partnership, then they're going to go to Beis Din, to a Beis Din, a particular Beis Din, who's going to be in charge of deciding on the dispute, who's correct. That's part of the clause, and it's under the arbitration law of Eretz Yisrael, so it's actually a valid clause. Okay, so what happens? Partnership goes along, they do come to a certain dispute, and instead of Shimon taking Reuven to Beis Din, as written in the contract, Shimon straight away opens up a claim in the secular courts, Beis Mishpat of Tel Aviv, and that is where he puts his claim in, which is negative what it's written in the contract. That's what Shimon does. He puts in his claim. And once you put a claim in Beis Mishpat, there's no such thing as not turning up or sending letters of why the claim is not valid. You have to put in a defense response to the claim and then actually show up on the date. There's no other way of avoiding it unless the other party withdraws his claim. So Reuven was forced to hire a lawyer, as you see in this picture. He's forced to hire a barrister, a lawyer, all in one, to represent him in the secular courts. Now, what's the So he's have to prepare, the lawyer has to prepare the case. If it's actually going to be decided in secular courts, he has to prepare it according to secular courts, all the materials, the defense. But the main thing they're going to start with is, if they do get to the court, is that this is the wrong place for jurisdiction based on the contract. It should be in Basin, and the court should push it back to Basin. But he has to hire the lawyer, and the lawyer says, Maroj, this is my fees. At the moment, 20,000 shekels. 20,000 shekels, what does it include? It includes preparing the paperwork. It includes turning up at the secular courts for the first appearance and the second appearance, and that's what it includes. But that's my minimal fee, 20,000. You have to pay me up front. So he pays him up front. Now, what happens? They pay them up front. He brings in he presents his defense defense paper response to the courts. And as the date of the hearing in the secular courts arrives, Shimon actually has second thoughts, and he withdraws his claim. So that actually the base mishpat session is cancelled. And he agrees to go to Basin. He withdrew his claim because there was an initial summons that was sent out, and he decided to take up that summons. So therefore, he withdrew his claim, and now in Basin. Now, the case goes through Basin, and in fact, after Basin made the decision on the case, Shimon actually won. Shimon, who made the claim in the Beis Mishpat, actually won and based in his claim against Reuven. But therefore, there's a certain award of money, which is Reuven to Shimon. But Reuven says, I have costs, which Shimon caused me unduly against Halacha, which is hiring the lawyer. And one of the costs, 20,000 shekels. So therefore, even though according to the decision, I have to pay 100,000 shekels to Shimon, but he owes me 20,000, so therefore you should knock that off. And that's my sort of claim as part of the deduction over here. So the question is how does Basin work under those circumstances? So according to Ikka Halacha, the claim is a correct claim. And even Shimon recognizes it, that Reuven's claim is correct, that if Shimon goes to a place where, according to Halacha, he's not allowed to be, and especially over here where it's written a clause in the contract that it should be decided and based him, then Shimon's going to have to pay for all the costs of Reuven trying to defend him in that place.
They didn't go there. They never got to the court.
So the question is, the question is, it's totally putting out, is that they didn't actually get to the court, but what does Shimon do? He was machayev Reuven to produce a defense response.
But Reuven didn't have to get a lawyer. Reuven could have decided to defend himself.
To produce a defense response. Now, to produce that defense response, he said it costed 20,000. He couldn't get a defense response from a lawyer, just a defense response as it is. So therefore, it costed 20,000. So he's saying, you caused me undue costs against Halacha and against the contract, which you're going to have to pay for doing such a thing, so therefore you should not be on. Now, what's Shimon come back? And now we're going to discuss this. Shimon's come back and says, true, but if you take the cost of what actually caused you, I caused you to produce a defense response, as Tony said. I didn't cause you to actually show up in court. I didn't actually cause you to show up in court with a lawyer. And the money you paid you, 20,000, as your own pirut, as your breakdown is that the 20,000 is not just for the response. It's also to show up in the Beis Mishpat. It's to represent you over there, and not only the first time, but also a second time, and all the letters in between, if there's necessary. So therefore, that never happens. Only caused you a defense response. So therefore,
I thought it was a minimum charge.
What?
I thought 20,000 shekel was the minimum charge.
That's the minimum charge, which the lawyer says he's taking it, but he says, what's kollel in this minimum charge?
Right, but even if I don't do those things, it's the minimum. So even if I don't end up going to court,
so
I get that.
The question is that the charge of, well, I caused you certain work, payment for certain work, and the work you paid for that work, and even although it wasn't necessary, to pay for that work, meaning that who said you should pay up front? Why did you pay up 20,000 up front? Maybe you should have said to him, I'll pay you according to what you do. If you go to the reports, I'll do pay the reports. If not, you happen to choose a lawyer, which not necessarily, maybe you can find another lawyer who pays according to as you go along. Or even if you can't find a lawyer that does that, maybe you can have a claim against the lawyer in Basedin that says you didn't produce all the work. Yeah. So therefore, is an onus. Now, let's analyze it in our scenario. What did the lawyer do? Lawyer did, he's got a whole job to do, and he did partial of the job, and there's an onus, as Klappy, the lawyer is concerned, and and Ruvain, there's an onus that stopped Ruvain's lawyer from doing the whole job. That's what's the onus, Shimon withdrawing the claim. So therefore, he did part of the job. The 20,000 is not in lieu of that job, it's in lieu of more than that. So he did part of the job which he's committed to do, which is a whole 20,000 job, and he did part of it. He can't do the whole thing because of an onus stopped in doing a thing caused a withdrawal. So therefore, according to what we said up to now, how much does really Ruvain own the lawyer? Maybe Ruvain should take the lawyer to Basedin, Shimon's saying, and saying, you get give me back money. Okay, that was the agreement. So that's good. But at the end of the day, an onus happened that stopped the work being performed, and therefore you should return the money. That's only in lieu of what you did, you should get, and not what you didn't get.
Yeah. I don't think the question of onus even starts here, because when the arrangement with the lawyer is, this is my minimum charge, that means even if you ask me to open the door, it's 20,000 shekel for the first minute. That, whatever happens after that, too bad.
Not exactly as Matis is saying. I understand what he's trying to say. Matis is trying to say that the cost of charging, doing the report is 20,000. That's not true. And even the lawyer agrees to that. No, the 20,000 is for all these poor lots. She says, I'm not willing to even start the job unless I've got security that all of this is going to be done. And therefore, I get the whole money. But at the end of the day, he didn't do the whole job. So therefore, even though he wanted security and he wanted to make sure he has the whole job, onus min hashamayim happens. That says the job was stopped partially through the process, the job was stopped. And now we look at, as we said up to now, what's the din if a worker does only a part of the job, how much he's halakhically entitled to? What's the halacha? The whole job payment or only partial? What's the halacha we said up to now? Besides the funny case of the ship, what's the halacha? The worker gets paid
only,
the whole job.
Only what he did.
Only what he did.
But so the worker didn't say you have to pay me regardless. He didn't say I have a minimum.
Take the lawyer to Basedin and make the lawyer bring back the money, which he's not entitled to. He's not entitled to that money. He's only entitled for half the job, which he did, or even a third of the job, which he did. He's only entitled for what he did. And therefore, so what if he said, promise me, yeah, but I promised you, I wouldn't pull out, but an onus happened that somebody else did pull out. It's not my fault. From Eric, what's Eric saying? It wasn't one's min hashamayim, it was min shimon. Okay. Yeah, it's not onus min hashamayim, what you call it, but Klappy, Ruvain and the lawyer, it's not something they're in control of. Ruvain, in his hiring his worker called the lawyer, he has no control over whether the job would be totally performed or not, and therefore Klappy him, it's something that he can't, and both of them know it's possible. And it's a type of thing which can prevent the job being totally controlled, even though both of them know it's possible. So therefore, that's l'chora, like the halacha of Shulchan Aruch says. Even if it's a shchiach onus, that both know merosh is possible, the halacha is the worker and the employer go into an idea where there's a possible and likely onus along the way. It doesn't matter. You only pay for what work is performed. So that's Shimon Steiner. This is what your obligation to a lawyer is. And if you want to pay more, it's not halachic D, correct, for you to pay more. So I only cause what you're mechayev to pay. And that is not the whole job. That's the claim. Yes.
Why is it not similar to a shadchan who gets a flat fee, which works a little or a lot. It could be only one phone call and that's it, and they get engaged, or it could be hours and hours and hours.
She's right, still- so again, we're going back to Matsus's logic, just saying the same question in a different fashion, is that here it's clearly understood between the lawyer and the client, is that it's not a payment for that's it. It is a payment for services of this, this, and this, for producing the product, turning up at the court one time, second time, and doing a Latin. Each one is work which deserves payment. I'm just putting a package deal together. The whole process costs 20,000. And because, not because of one event over there, all events built up to make the 20,000. All events make up all the 20,000. So therefore, only if you do all the events, you're entitled to 20,000. Yeah, that's what it should be. So like the Shatkin, where the Shatkin says that you're not entitled to any money unless you actually make the shidduch. You didn't do anything for me. That's the Shatkin case. Okay, it's not the same as the Shatkin. Here, you're entitled to money as you go along, just the whole thing at the end of the day is 20. Okay, so that's the claim. That Shimon's trying to defend himself by saying, I caused you hotzas, but the hotzas is not 20,000. Hotzas is how much the cost of that work for producing the report, and no more than that. So let us see, if you go to Marma Kermis, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch adds a new factor, which is actually from the Gemara, on these cases of onesim that up to now...
May I ask one fundamental question?
Yeah, sure.
Who says this lawyer is going to listen to Beis Din?
Right. So my fault, there's a Ganif out there.
What?
It's not my fault there's a ganif. I cause you to pay money for services. So there's a... You have a ganif over there. It's not going to listen to halacha that says he's not entitled, right?
But I have no way of getting the money back.
What? I'm not mechuyev for somebody stealing from you. I'm mechuyev for what I caused you.
He didn't steal from me. You caused me. I couldn't get him to do it without paying 20,000 shekel.
If that bottom line is the lawyer is not entitled to that money, he's called the ganif for keeping it, according to Alokka, if he's not entitled. So as we're going to discuss. So if everything's dependent on the lawyer, whether the money paid is due to him, halakhically, Shimon has to compensate him. If not, he doesn't need to compensate him. So let's look, halakhically, up to now, pashtus, it's not due to him. And if he keeps it, it's halakhically called Geneva. Okay, I can't control it, but there's a bandit out there which I can't control. I'm not a chayev for a bandit coming to you. Yeah. So let us see in Shulchan Aruch, a halachic decision based on the Gemara that introduces a new factor into these cases of onus when you pay and when you don't. So it says in Shulchan Aruch like this. Omelo, if the agreement is like this, Svina Zu Ani Maske, I'm hiring this ship. This is the ship. And I'm hiring this ship, this particular ship, the Elizabeth II ship, for this particular wine, for the Argonuz 1995 wine. Yeah, okay. If he's already paid up front the money for the ship, he can never get the money back even if it sinks. But in Lo Nosen, if he hasn't yet given it, Lo Yitzen, then doesn't give. Because both of them, when it sinks, it's the end of the job. I can't bring more wine because the wine, I can't bring 1998 wine. I only was machayev you to take 1995 wine, and that's at the bottom of the ocean. I'm not mechuyev to, you can't bring another ship. Elizabeth the second ship you promised, and I hired that. I never hired Elizabeth the first ship. So therefore, you can't bring me Elizabeth the first. So both of us, once it sinks, that's the end of our relationship. We can't suddenly bring another thing to compensate. It's not part of the agreement. So therefore, the halacha says, in Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, if the money is already being paid, then he keeps the whole thing, even though he's only done half the journey and there's no way of continuing. And if the money hasn't yet been paid, then he doesn't give anything. So what's Pesha over here? So it seems to be, we have a case, we finally found the case that a worker performs, not the whole job. And nevertheless, there's a way of keeping it, even though he's getting it in lieu of something he hasn't performed. He didn't do the whole job. And he's got no reasons to keep the money. And still he keeps the money. So how is that possible that he keeps the money? I don't say this is the Sra of the Chazon Ish over here because of insurance. Because here the Umar doesn't argue. Remember, that insurance Sra was a Machlokes Machaber Ramah whether Bechlal exists. Because it's a Machlokes Rishonim whether Bechlal exists. Over here in Shulchan Aruch, which the Umar agrees to, is the Kula Alma. This is Poshet the Kula Alma. Even if you don't hold to that insurance Sra, once you've given the money, the worker can keep it. Even though he's only done half the job and there's no reason for him to keep more than half, he can keep it once you've given it. Okay? Once you tell me that once money is being paid up front, then the worker can keep it, then the chora in this case, where Reuven hired the lawyer and he gave up front the 20,000, now we're clearing, is the lawyer entitled Halacha to keep it and now have ramifications whether Shimon has to compensate Reuven or not? What are we going to say? Is halachically correct for the lawyer to keep it or not under those circumstances? What's going to be, according to the Shulchan Aruch and or based on the Gemara, is the keep lawyer halachically keep it or not?
He should keep it.
Keep it? If he can keep it, then Reuben was mechuyev to give to the lawyer because of Shimon's actions. Reuben can't recover it. And now Reuben can claim it back from Shimon. That's what we're seeing over here. We haven't given any logic behind it. We're just given a halachic statement without logic, but based on that halachic statement, we're coming to a conclusion. Money as actually given can never be received, even if the work was not performed due to an illness.
It should be like the Evid Ivri case, because you bought Poel's work, and now he had an onus, so it happened to you.
Yeah, but the Evid Ivri case doesn't apply, says the Shach, which we saw many times, the Shach. That is no din of Eved Ivri by a worker. A worker is not a slave. Eved Ivri is a slave. You can buy him physically. You can buy a car. You can rent a car and have ownership on that for that time. So, it's an item. But a worker is not something you can buy. Like we have Mitzrayim. That's learned from Mitzrayim. Eved LaHashem. LaAvi Avodim. You can only be Eved Hashem. A worker.
This case is clearly different. We don't have a story yet for it, but it's definitely not the same thing as hiring a lawyer who's performing a service with no out-of-pocket cost at this point. Masha Einkein, the person with the boat, does have out-of-pocket costs.
Yeah, but you're trying to throw at me the svara.
I'm not getting into the svara.
You're trying to throw to me. Of course, he made a loss, so you're going to have to pay.
I'm not getting to spar. But this is more than just a service. I mean, the case of the lawyer is just a service. Here, this is a service and an object. He said, this boat, dafka this boat, and dafka this wine. So we're talking about objects here, almost like a kinyan of some sort, and not the same as simply hiring some poorly.
The reason why it stresses dafka this boat is not to say you have hired the boat. I have no responsibility on the boat. I'm saying is that the obligation of the work is only in respect to this particular work or a boat taking this particular one. That's the agreement. That's what my agreement of payment and job responsibility is. But nothing to do with and actually hiring the boats, and obviously you don't have any kinyonim in my wife, of course, that doesn't make sense. All it is defining what agreement is. And since that's the definition of the agreement, it's obviously when it sinks, there's no more obligations because no one can now bring anything else. That's the stress. But it's nothing to do with kinyonim. It's a regular worker relationship. And nevertheless, he only performs part of the work and he can keep all the money because he gave it up front.
I want to say that I think that the case of the lawyer is multiple jobs. There's one job of writing up the original documentation. There's another job of going to representing him in court. It could be that he completed some jobs and never began and had to even begin later jobs. I'm not sure if it's one job for the whole.
Okay, that's a good saw. Maybe we'll talk about that right at the end to see whether that would make a difference to the results. It's a good start. if you've got many jobs, it's just always considered like one job. Okay, let's take it for fashion. It's like to say one job, and this is the to perform this one job, this is what you have to do as you get along, and that's the cost as each part goes. Okay, but so we'll discuss that particular swara right at the end. It's a good point, Shmuel, over there. But lachora, without explaining the halacha, it seems to be matching our case, and he got the money, so therefore the lawyer can keep the money, and therefore Shimon calls that, so Shimon has to compensate. Lachora, that's what we're saying. But, of course, we don't leave things on face value. We have to really investigate what's the logic behind it. Up to now, he says, there's no logic in the world to pay something you didn't receive. You only did a partial job. You shouldn't get paid for what you performed. Here, suddenly, just because you gave money, I thought, why should that make a difference? So if you go back to the Marmokomis, we're going to analyze a bit the logic behind it.
Could these conditions be consequential for some reason we're not aware of? Meaning, it's like, if I make a condition, you have to wear a shirt blue while you're a blue shirt while you're driving the boat. So even if you wear a red one, that shouldn't make a difference. Whereas perhaps in the case of the Shulchan Aruch, it was because Davka, it was that vintage and this boat. I don't know why, but for some reason those are important.
Okay, so Baruch is saying maybe there's a specific reason why you're paid by the boat case, because it's something to do with the wine and the boat makes it something intrinsically when you give money. He doesn't know why. It's less than the case of the lawyer, which he wants to say is maybe different. Okay, that's what we're trying to do now. Trying to analyze what's the logic behind it. So let's go back to our case of the tippis, the Ganif, the famous Ganif, who, as we will repeat what was the case. I mean, Shem will have conclusion in this case as well this week. Their case is like this. Reuven is the dentist. Comes along Shimon into Reuven's dental office and says, look, I've got lots of problems with my teeth. Can you look at it? He looks at him and says, yeah, you've got many, many multiple problems over here. It needs a lot of work on, and say a huge amount of money. Right? So he said, how much is this? I can't remember the exact figure because I haven't got it written down over here. Let's say this week it was, the whole job was, let's say 40,000 shekels initially for the whole process. You know, you got obviously fillings, you got crowns, you've got extractions, you've got all that type of thing. Okay, and so it's going to be 40,000. So the Shimon takes out of his pocket an envelope, 40,000 on the spot. A bit strange, people carrying 40,000 shekels on them wherever they go, not a normal thing. And he gives it to the Reuven, the dentist. He says, yeah, go ahead, put me in for the sessions. Go ahead and buy some materials and get us going. So he turns up, Shimon, for the first tipple, taking more x-rays, doing initial things. Yeah, okay. And that's all he did. Okay, and now they're arranged to carry on, obviously, the treatment. But he never turns up the second time. He didn't say he's cancelling. So the dentist tries some contacts. He can't get hold of him. And then he reads the newspapers and actually sees Shimon in the newspapers. He's been caught by the police as being a serial crime, creating a gangster of many years. He's been having the expertise. I mean, you can even look this up. It's a case that happened to Meister now. So look at that. He has the expertise of being able to steal from places which are not reachable. There's a sheer cliff, a sheer wall. No one can climb that. There's no reason to access. And he manages to do that. That's that picture of the sea. He's able to access places which are unheard of. And that's his expertise as a gunner. And they finally, after many years, caught him. Okay. And now they predict that when he gets tried, he's going to be in prison for many, many years. So now the dentist, Reuven, has a shiloh. What's he going to do with the money? He only started the treatments. An onus happened, obviously, copy Reuven. The onus happened that the treatment can't be continued because the guy's in prison for many years. So what should he do? Should he return the money or not? So up to now, until this week, we said, you only get paid for what you performed. So, of course, the money's not his to keep. So therefore, he has to get it back. Now, who does he give it back to? That's another side. Obviously, the gunner is not the guy who's going to get the money back in such a situation. But we've introduced another factor this week. Now, even if you haven't performed all the job, You still can get paid for the whole job if you get the money up front. And that's what the dentist did. He got money up front. So therefore, the shayla is, can he keep it because of that halacha? So that now is machayev us to try and understand this halacha to see whether it's relevant by this dentist case. And therefore, we'll work it out whether what's it logically relevant to the lawyer's case or not. So let's see. If you go down, it says, in there seems to be machlokas with shonim between the Tor and Tosis. What's the logic behind it? What's the logic? Pay up front, you have to, you don't get it back. So the Tor says like this. Can you try and explain to me what the Tor means? Tor says like this. Omar Hamaskin, the brother boss, the hirer, says, Svina Zu, this is, I want Elizabeth II. Vasuch Omar Yanza, and, okay. He says, yeah, okay. Gnuz 1992. Call me Yod. Anyone who's holding the money, when it sinks. Whoever is holding the money is Muchzik, and he has the upper hand. And therefore, if the worker has received all the payments, Lo Yachsalo, he doesn't need to give it back. If he hasn't paid anything, he doesn't have to give anything. Given Shane Echomehem, why? Why is whoever's holding the money? Why is whoever's holding money can keep it? Given because Shane Echomehem Yochul Kaimatanai. Because neither one after the sinks can say I can continue. So what does the Torah mean? In explaining why, once the money is being paid, he don't have to give it back, even although he didn't do the whole job. What's the Torah explaining the reasoning behind that halacha? Try and explain it to me. I'll say it again in English.
Can you tell me the actual case that the Torah is talking about?
Talking the case of the Gemara? The case of the Gemara, I hired the boat to take my wife, a Pacific boat to take Pacific wife, halfway through the journey, let's say halfway, it sinks because of a storm which is like not under any of our control. And that's the halacha. That's the halacha. If you haven't paid, you don't need to pay anything, but if you pay the whole thing, it keeps the whole thing, even though you didn't perform the whole job. And even if you don't hold of this insurance policy business.
Well, the Torah saying he fulfilled the full condition. Because he did take the boat. He just didn't happen to make it to the other side.
Yeah, but the Torah is not saying he did everything he's required to do, because he says it depends where the money is. If it's depending where the money is, what's it got to do? If you're telling me he did what he's supposed to do, then even if you haven't paid, you should pay. He doesn't say that. He didn't say he did everything he promised. He's Makayim his obligation, so therefore you have to pay him. He says, no, you don't need to pay him, but if you already paid him, then he doesn't get it back. So obviously, it's not from the actual agreement. He hasn't done what he's supposed to do. Because if he's done what he's supposed to do, of course you pay him. Yeah, totally. Go on.
We always have a question with an onus as to whose mazel the onus is for. And maybe that's what he's trying to say here, that since we don't know whose mazel affected this loss, so see where the money is. And then we know whose mazel affected the loss. So if the money's already been paid, then clearly it was the buyer whose mazel affected the loss, and or vice versa.
Clearly, you're quite amazing. You do this on a very frequent basis. I've noticed that when we get to the end of this month, you actually throw out something amazing story that you're so accurate and clear. It's very unusual. But truly, this is in many occasions when we get to this run, you pull yourself together and Amish machav into the emes,
Something
to do with the last chip. Yeah, call after the gemar. Yeah, Ni'ila always saves you. So that's when I'm going to explain what Tony said, but it's Mamish spot on with the logic over here. Now, before we do that, Eric did flash something up. I didn't have time to look at it. Do you want to repeat what Eric said or asked?
Eric wrote, each made a condition, each agreed to the condition, both broke the condition, no one has a claim.
No one has a claim. So therefore, how do we decide the money? Why is the one keeping the money keep the money if no one has a claim? Why is it dependent on the money? if both are halakhically paskins totally off, you've got no claims at all, not then what's it going to do with the money? Money usually is a sofik. Sofik, I don't know who's right. You got a valid reason according to some opinion, you got a valid reason according to the other opinion. So we say, how much we're going to lie, that's how we learn sofik, why you keep the money, even although whoever keeps the money keeps the money. That's what it sounds, that's what the Torah is saying. It's a sofik. And a motive of Chavurah, right? Whoever's got the money keeps it. So the Shaila, what's the sofik? Yeah? So Tuli was very accurate in defining what's going on over here. It's like a new concept, which is going to help us, obviously, next month when we talk directly on Corona Shailas, how we're going to analyze this. But he's bringing something in, something, a concept, which we haven't really touched on at all. It seems to be that when you're hiring a worker, and something happens to prevent the job carrying on, we try to analyze that min ha-shamayim, who's the one who's causing the job not to continue. Obviously, the classic case is as if you hire somebody and he just pulls out and says, I'm not continuing. We know who is the party who's to blame. Because I want to continue, you could continue, you don't want to continue, obviously you're the cause, you're going to be the one who's going to take all the blame and all the costs of actually breaking up the agreements at that stage. And similarly, the other person. That's the clear-cut case. But now we have situations where none of them are negligent in continuing the job, okay? So we thought, okay, if no one is negligent, so it's min ha-shamayim, it's nothing to do with you two guys, min ha-shamayim, and we'll just pay you for what you did, and you, whatever you did, you didn't pay. That's how we stood out to now. But now Tuli has seen this talk and says, it's not like that. Even when it's min ha-shamayim, we want to see who's the cause of that min ha-shamayim. If we can pinpoint who's the cause of the min ha-shamayim, then he's the one who's going to take the cost and the loss of the best. What do you mean min ha-shamayim? If we can say that it's because of you, that's why it was a gezeira of min ha-shamayim that meant this can't continue. Because who's got to benefit out of this job? Both parties. When I hire a worker, both parties benefit from the agreements. I benefit for a work being performed, and you benefit because you get money for wages. So therefore, it's good for both people. Now, when min ha-shamayim that says it's finished, you can't do the whole thing, is min ha-shamayim saying both of you guys, you're out, and both of you are going to lose? Yeah, that's a possibility. Or is min ha-shamayim saying, I don't want you, the worker, let's say in the case of the worker, I don't want you, the worker, to get money out of this job. So therefore, I'm going to create an onus that stops you getting money out of the job. And therefore, the worker is the cause of the hire from not being able to be completed. Or vice versa. Maybe it's all because of the hire. You want to get benefit by transporting it. Min ha-shamayim says, your muzzle doesn't entitle you to get a hot stock over here. Therefore, your muzzle prevents the job being performed, but it's nothing to the worker. And therefore, your muzzle is going to, you're the cause, so you're going to have to pay. So that seems to be, as Tuli points out, is the Shaila. And in this particular scenario, we don't know who's the cause. So it's the sofik, one of them is the cause. Obviously, there's no sofik, both of them is the cause. Or maybe it is, but one of them is the cause. And therefore, since it's a sophic, that could be one of them is the cause, and it's only because of him, then the other guy is not to, should get paid. And therefore, since we don't know who, we look at where the money is and say, Motsi Mechavarai, you can keep it because you can say, Kimli, I'm going to say, Tyler, that I'm not the cause. It's actually you. You are the cause. Whoever's got the money can say, no, Kimli, I'm not the cause. You're the cause. It's not that it's clear, it's still not clear, but whoever's got the money can say, I'm muhsik, so prove I'm not the cause, I'm saying you're the cause. That's what the Tuli has explained the Torah. Yeah, that's a new concept in the Hilchus Poelim, that even when the onus happens, it could be that it's because of one of them, and he's going to have to pay. Just normally, we say we don't know. Here, we say, we're totally sophic, whoever's holding the money will actually be able to keep the money. Okay, so now we understand, if you pay from the beginning, the worker can keep it. Why? Not because, even though he doesn't get to do the work, he gets paid the whole thing. No, he never gets paid the whole thing for not doing the whole work. They can say, you're the one who pulled out. It's because of you. I'm prepared to continue. Or your muscle was the one who stopped us doing it. So therefore, you're going to have to pay. And the other guy can also tie that. So they will look at the money. Look at the money. That's what the Torah seems to be saying. Okay. That's the Torah. Let us see what Tosis says. We said it's a machlokes to show them how to learn the case. Is Tosis going to be fundamentally different to this concept, or is he going to just be a little change? Look at Tosis. Tosis says Tosis. That it says in the Mishnah, im nos lo yitzo, if you already give him the money, you don't get it back. The masha lo yitzo kam. I mean, you can't take anything back. Even the half of the journey he didn't go, he still can't get back. Look, Kashelin, that is not difficult. The Kula Alma would agree in that case. Why? Since he wants to carry on. Since the other guy gave the money from the beginning, by giving the money from the beginning, then he's basically saying, I'm agreeing that it's yours immediately because I gave it from the beginning. The das came no soon. That's he gave it fully, knowingly, by giving the money, he's agreeing that you are entitled to keep it. That's yours totally.
Even if he doesn't do what he was hired to do?
I'm agreeing that the money is yours.
Even if he doesn't do what he's hired to do?
Obviously not. If he doesn't do what he's hired to do, then it's the whole thing is a mecca.
It's
a tanai that you didn't fulfill. But obviously that not that case, not that extreme. When he can do it, he just doesn't turn up and he can keep not. Obviously not. Because then the whole thing was a mistake. It's a mistake, the task, and the whole thing. Here, we're talking about the case. Obviously, an earnest happens. So he's saying, by giving him money in the rosh, I'm agreeing that you can keep it. So let's speak out. What does he saying? Is he saying, he's obviously saying different from the Torah. Is it totally different from the Torah? Is it an adaption from what the Torah is saying? What is he actually saying with this logic? Tosis.
I think he's arguing on the tour.
Yeah, he's definitely arguing on the tour.
Bikaron, he's arguing.
Okay, so what's he saying?
He's talking about Kenyan. He's talking about he gave it to him. It's not a suffix. It's a clear, I was machnit to him because I wanted to have it at that time already.
Okay.
He considers the partial job to be the whole job. He considers, I'm paying you to do as much of the job as you can possibly do. If you can do the whole job, do the whole job. If you can't do the whole job, I'm paying you, then that'll be considered your whole job.
Right. Yeah, it's not stubborn. David was saying, it started off by saying, he's just giving the money. Then you have Matzis this far, that says, okay, so he doesn't need to give it back, even if he doesn't turn it up. So it's a bit more, let's add it a bit, David, like Shmuel says. He's giving it, as maximum, you can keep the whole money, as maximum, just try your best. Whatever you do, you do.
But why what's the logic that he would do that for? He didn't say that, and people don't usually do that. They pay for results, not for effort.
Okay. But the fact he didn't say at the condition when he gives the money and say, you know, I'll give you money out front. But on condition, obviously, you perform the whole job. He doesn't say that. He does.
He says, I'm giving you the money if you do XYZ. You didn't do XYZ, so that's the condition.
No, it's not a condition. They have
what agreement of what
I have to do this, you have to do that. Now, when it comes to payments, you say, hey, here's all the money, Mirosh. Why are you giving the money up, Mirosh? Why are you giving it up front?
Because he demanded it, Mirosh. That's
right. So he demanded, so you have to be careful with this money, Mirosh. Okay, I'm giving you all money, of course. I'm giving this money only in lieu of you doing everything that's on it. That's on the
paper. Why does he need to reiterate that? That's obvious. No. Nobody pays for something that's not going to happen.
Because since there's onsen do happen, and therefore I should take that into consideration. Why? So that Martins is asking a very good question. We've developed from David to Shmuel, now we got to Matzis. It's also said. Shmuel said, he's giving all the money, even if you do whatever you can do is at best. So Matzis is saying, well, why would he do such a thing? Why does he even have to speak it out? Yeah. So what's the reason? Why? What's machayev him to speak it out? And if he doesn't speak it out, then we say he's masking Maturus Vadai, that is yours if he doesn't speak it. So what, there's something missing over here that's machayev him to speak it out. And if he doesn't, then obviously, because if he obviously doesn't speak it out, therefore he's masking. So what's machayev him to speak it out? What's machayev to speak it out? And he didn't, so he gave it quietly. That's it. Whatever you do, the best you can do is that you can keep. What's machayev to speak out? That's Matzis' question. Good question.
Give the money in advance. Usually people don't give the money in advance. You give the money.
Like Matz is saying, he's demanding it. That's okay, he's demanding it. I want the job done. You're the best guy around. You're fine, so I'll give you.
It sounds like a Tanai in the deal. We had a few weeks ago, we have a Tanai in the Mecca. If you have to say it or not, even though it's implicit, well, I'm giving the money because I want to get all the whole job done. But if I don't make that beferish, then we had a machlokas if it's binding.
Okay, so he says that's over here. Matz is saying it's a type of under the muchach b'lei kol adam, that there's definitely a Tanai over here because that's what's spoken over here. This is not Kaka. It's metaltalin, and therefore there's obviously a Tanai lekulam. The whole machlokes was by Kaka. He said over there, and was it by the lekayach? Yes, Steve.
Could you say that all Tosfos is explaining is why the boat owner is considered the muchzak?
Normally, you don't need to say why it's muchzak. You have to explain yourself, Stephen, your question. Normally, muchzak just means who's holding the money. So that's possible.
Well, is that always true? I mean, if I paid you, meaning sometimes you're just holding the money, right? But like, I haven't really given it to you yet. Like, it's just maybe convenient for me to give you the money now, right? But I'm not really paying you for everything. Right? Maybe Tosfos is just explaining why the boat owner is considered the muchzak. But he's not saying it. Like the
muchzak doesn't need your consent. It's
just if I'm holding it?
Yeah, just so I'm holding it. Muchzak is a general rule of like, I've got a claim against you, you've got a claim back, we're not sure. I'm holding your money, even as a pekotan. Even though I'm not holding it as bailus, but I'm just holding it. And now I'm also
going back to Matz's question. Going back to Matz's question. So maybe we would say that under normal circumstances, and under that we have a certain tanai that we would, on inside that we would say that it's tanai that we expected to deliver for the money, except when you pay the entire sum up front. If you pay the entire sum up front, so there's an implicit acquiescence that I'm paying. And it's your obligation to speak up at that point and say whatever time you want. By the way, I'm giving it all up front now, but if any onus happens, again, if this can be pshia, of course you're talking about, but if this can be an onus, which is not as clear.
It sounds okay, but it doesn't fit with the words. Because he's saying, even if you give all the money. So it's not, according to Tully, it's only if you give all the money. Tully's logic is only based on only if you give all the money, and that destroys the umdana of matters. Not if you give partial. The notion of Tosis is even if you give the money. Oh, yeah, whatever money you give them, that's it. That's what Tosis seems to be saying. So let's answer Matters' question. What's machayev him to speak it out, and otherwise he's agreeing that you can keep it? So we have to say, and I think I've heard him do speak this out that over here. I can't, didn't manage to have time to look it up in time, but I think they do. You have to say like this, that really Tosis is only partially arguing on the tour. He agrees to the tour's logic that even if onus happens, there's maybe someone to blame, that you're the cause of bad muzzle over here. It's you, the muzzle. Just do that, it's a sophic, and we can never mabar it to go after Musa. What Tosis is adding is saying, since there's a possibility, obviously, of onus ever happening in a job that prevents it being fulfilled, and nevertheless, even though everyone knows there's an onus that's possible, and nevertheless they give money up front without speaking out, then basically he's saying, not because of sophic you can keep the money, But that's how you keep the money, because I'm making you mussar. A bit like the Steve. It's not only you became mussar, I'm actually giving you the money, giving it over that you can be a mussar. So I'm asking Mirosh, not because of Sophie you can give, but I'm asking that even if an onus happens and we're not sure who's the cause, but since I agreed Mirosh to give you the money and give you the upper hand, then I'm basically saying that dies. That's the money you can keep. I'm asking not because of Sophie, but ask Mirosh, if any onus comes, I'll take the blame. I'll take the blame of the onus for anything that happens up to this amount of money. That whatever money I give, I'm taking the blame of that, for that share of money, that I'm the cause of the onus that happens. That is the machayev for him to speak out. Since there's a halacha, onus happens, that we know that it could be either side as the cause of that onus, and then who's mussar will be able to give it. If I actually give him it, Mirosh, the money, then I'm saying, I'll take upon myself the achrayus of that onus that happens. That's because me, up to that amount of money. And there was also
circular reason.
An adaption of the Torah is an adaption of the Torah that makes him vadai the money his, whatever money he's holding.
Isn't that circular reasoning, though? Because the halacha is only that way because you're assuming that he has to speak it out.
No, not because he has to speak it out. We're saying it's because it's possible that onus happens in the middle. And since onus happens, it could be possibly that either side is the blame of that onus. And if he has to take the responsibility, Mirosh, if I'm Mirosh giving you the money, I'm basically saying is that I'll take the
you're saying because halakha will dictate if it stays with the person because of Safek, it now becomes Vadai?
If I gave it Mirosh in such a scenario, which halakha of Umna, so yeah, the type of I know Mirosh that there's a very possibility of a Safek being by our relationship being created over here if Onsen happens. Yeah.
What made Tosfos say this? The din is the same as the tour. Why would he be mechadish this extra umdina?
So the din is the same, but they have slightly different results. One is saying a sophic.
I understand. One is saying the Torah's vadai. Right. Okay. It just seems like an extra chiddush of Tosfos that's like not so necessarily.
So where's the source for him to add this? Okay.
Yeah.
So according to Tosfos, if the guy gave him back the money in the middle for whatever reason, he would still be entitled to get it back.
There's a wonderful matters. You've spoken out a perfect nafka min between the two. Nafka min would be, I gave the money, Mirosh. And in the course of things, I managed, even though I gave the money, Reuven gave money to Shimon. He gave it, Mirosh. In the course, Reuven managed to recover some money of Shimon, or Shimon gave him a pekodim to look after. So Reuven's actually holding money, nothing to do with the job. There'll be a big nafkum in there between the Torah and the Tosis. If Torah and the Tosis, I gave the money, and it's now yours. Yeah, nothing to talk about, no silence now. It's yours, not a sophic anymore. So even if I happen to now be holding some other money of yours now, at a time when some occurrence of onus happens, I can't keep it by me because it's definitely yours, not a sophic. But according to Torah, it remains always a sophic, and whoever's holding money is going to be more so in being able to keep that money, and it's never vadai. Then the fact you've managed to recover some money in between, then that means you can keep it, the one who keeps it. So that's a big nafka min between the two. So based on this, now we want to look and discover what's going to be a halacha in our cases. So let's go first to the case of the Ganenet. Let's go back and see the Ganenet case. If you look at the Mar Makomis, but to lead back to the page, you'll see a picture over there, and we'll see what the Ganenet case is. Yeah, we're just going to, because time's running up, we're just going to wrap up these cases, so everyone's clear these and have a fresh start next month. So if you go down to the beginning of the next page, it says like this. Yeah, we've got this Ganenet case. Where are the Ganenet? Yeah, she's in Bidud, she has corona, she caught her onus, prevents her from doing the job. Okay, we said she only gets paid for what she's been paid. She only gets paid for what she's done. That's what we said before this week. Now we introduce a new factor. That if she's ready to receive money in Mirosh, she can keep it, either because of the tour all because of Tosis. She can keep it. Now, what happens is she doesn't receive money, but the normal thing by getting it, she receives a check. She's got a check for the payment of the whole month. Corona, halfway through the month, knocks out 2 weeks of the last 2 weeks of the month. And then what she does, she goes and cashes the check. And now she's got all the money in hand. Can she keep it or not keep it? Based on what we learned or not. She got all the money in the rush in the form of check. Corona knocks her out for 2 weeks, halfway through the month. She then cashes the check at the end of the month and gets all the money now, physically. Can she keep that money or not keep that money based on what we learned?
I think we said check was a suffix of what the status is, if it's considered like you have the money ready or not. So then, if according to this Torah, it's still a suffix.
Is it? So firstly, let's discuss. Is check a receiving money or not receiving money? Is it suffix, not the suffix? What's check?
It's receiving money.
So Bark is saying it's receiving money. Everyone agree to that? The check is receiving money?
It's wrong. I think it's different for source.
Actually, we're talking about here a post-dated check for the end of the month. Has he received money or not received money?
The post-dated check?
Hmm?
It's a post-dated check?
Yes, the end of the month.
He hasn't received anything yet.
Okay. So Mats is saying he hasn't received anything. Now, it's clear from all the post-given checks. We had a whole series of checks a few years ago. What a status of check. But it came out clearly in all the post-given that check is not money. It may be a kinyan. That's what Baruch is remembering. It may be a binding kinyan for whatever you're buying, whatever you're trying to do. Fine. But it's not the money. The money, that is a... You haven't got her money in your hands or his money in his hands, whoever wrote the check. Whoever's holding the check hasn't got the actual money of whoever wrote the check. He's maybe got a binding kinyan from the person who sent it. Maybe it's not even a binding kinyan. That's the discussion. It's binding kinyan or just a statement for the bank to do something. Okay, that was the discussion in checks over there. But it's not the actual money. So therefore, it's not the actual money. So where she got Mirosh the check, even if it's not post-dated check, it's not the actual money. She can get money, but it's not the actual money yet. So therefore, even got Mirosh the check, she never got money, Mirosh. But she converted it into money at the end of the month. So now what's going to be the halacha? Can she keep it or not keep it on base of what we said? She never got money, but she converted it into money at the end of the month. Can she keep it or not?
According to Torf, she could keep it because it's suffix, and now she has the money in her hand.
Well, no, now it's too late. You need to be muksak when the work stops.
Oh, who says you have to be muksak when the work stops?
When they go to basic.
Why is you're not a muksak? I mean, that's like... You can't become a muxik after the fact when you're dealing with...
What's called after the fact and what's called before the fact? Matzis is correct. There's something called after the fact.
It should go by Beis Din. Whenever you come to Beis Din, that's when they look at them and see us. At that point, who's holding what?
Ah, we go by the time of Beis Din, not the time of the Shaila. In Beis Din, they can finish everyone's muksokas. They can say, how we're holding now, everyone stay where they are. That's it. No one can move. At that stage, that's the end of maybe muksokas. And it's not even clear if that's true. But before Beis Din, even if it's after the Shaila, you can say, look, I've got opinion which supports me. There's something called Tefisa, grabbing. Yeah? Now there's ways to grab. What does Tefisa do? Why should you do Tefisa if it never helps you? Tefisa grabs, helps you to make your mosque, and then you can say, it's me, Kimley. Yeah, so there's a way to grab, and there's halakhic restrictions on how to act, fine. But that you can become mosque. So Tuli is saying, according to the Torah, since this Shaila is sophic, who's to blame because of whose muzzle it is? Who's the muzzle over here? Is Hashem this your muzzle or that your muzzle? Is the worker or not the worker? You're the cause or the cause? So we say we go after whoever's holding the money, who's going to say, I'm going to keep the money because prove otherwise. And that means halacha looks it. Then even after the shayla, a person can get hold of the money and say, I'm going to keep it because maybe you're the cause. So therefore, once the ganenit has cashed the check, she's now mufsik in actual now the money now. And she can say, I'm going to keep it because maybe the muzzle is your bad muzzle, parents, not my bad muzzle. What will come out with Tosfos
might be different because from the payer's perspective, he didn't actually give over the money yet, perhaps.
Whole logic of Tosfos was, is that I'm giving you this full knowingly, I'm giving you money to give you a better position over me. To give you a better position over me, so therefore, you get the money, so now it's Vatai, yours. But what's going to be the halacha if I never gave you money and you grabbed money? What did Matis say the halacha is? If you didn't give you money, but you grabbed money, what's going to be the halacha now?
You have to return the money.
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah, you have to return it.
Yes or no? Yeah, Danny, you want to say something?
I think they should return it, yeah.
Everyone's saying return it. Think about it. Did Tosfos argue on the Torah or he added to the Torah? Did he take the position and add it or just totally argued? What did he do?
He said he added to this sparrow.
So therefore, even if you don't have, Tosfos says, even if you don't have my logic of being Vadai, but I still agree to the basic principle of the Torah that you're suffering. The only case where there's enough gemina is the other way around. If I've already given the money, and then I try and get it back. Not if I haven't yet got the money and trying to get it back. Maybe that's enough gemina. Yeah. When you're already in base and you've already given the money, try to get it back. It's too late to make muksokas. And then that's maybe enough gemina. Okay.
Had the other side, had the check bearer cancel the check in advance, that would have been the end of it.
Yeah, but he didn't think about that. So therefore, it seems to be uniformly accepted under this principle that if she cashes the check, she's now mochser and she can keep it. Okay, so maybe that's going to be a halacha over there.
So then the buyer could, before she cashes it, the buyer could block the check. Buyer could stop the check.
If she's worried about it, block the check. Or if you trust the gunner, you say, don't cash the check, let's go to Iraq beforehand. And the gunner will listen under these circumstances. It's not going to be someone who bedafka goes ahead against as her client's will. So that's why she will lose business in such a situation. Okay? So that seems to be the halacha by the Gemenit. Now, even though we said up to now, you only get paid for what she worked, but if she's got money in the hand, she doesn't need to give it back. Now, this is even money in the hand, even she gets it after the shayla by cashing the check. And that's the good armor, even the Torah agree under that circumstances.
Okay. Hashem, thank you for going. I'm sorry to bother you.
So now,
but I am finishing.
Yeah. So now, let's finish off with the shayla of the lawyer. So what's with the din with the lawyer? The lawyer case, Shimon calls Reuven to hire a lawyer. He paid all 20,000 up front and he only performed part of the work, onus on being able to perform the rest because the claim was withdrawn. But he's got all the money, is the lawyer entitled to keep it, and therefore Shimon has to pay it. What's going to be halacha? Is the lawyer entitled to keep the money? X, Y, and Z, I'm doing for you, cost 20,000, only did X. You paid me front up to all the money. Y and Z owners can't perform. Can I now keep all the money, the lawyer? Can the lawyer say, it's your muzzle, not my muzzle? Keep the money.
lawyer lechora can keep the money klapei Reuven. The question is, the Gabi Shimon, does he have to respond?
Pastus, no sign of both Tosis and the Tor. You can keep the money. He didn't grab it afterwards. Even if there is enough gemina on grabbing afterwards, which he said, Pastus, there's no enough gemina of grabbing afterwards. Yeah, if you want to say it's an additional factor. So therefore, Pastus was saying that the Kulama, Tosis and the Tor would agree the lawyer can keep the money. So what about Shimon? Does he now have to pay Reuben for that cost? Does Shimon, do we look at Shimon causing Reuben to pay all the money? Was he a direct cause of Reuben paying 20,000 or not?
No, it seemed to be indirect.
And why?
Because again, that was Reuben's agreement. Shimon never said, you must hire a lawyer, pay him up front 20,000 shekel, and do this. He said, I've been giving you an invitation to court. What he did after that was on him.
Okay. Now, you're saying good, and you're saying, Matsu said at the beginning, also something over there, at the beginning of the share, who says he has to take a lawyer? So here we
That's
have to look at this scenario.
It's Firstly, normal to take a lawyer. It's also normal to pay a retainer to a lawyer. To pay money in advance. If it's normal to pay money in advance, that's what's expected. To pay what they call a retainer, a certain amount up front, then that's normal.
Shmuel's spot on. We have to look what's normal in the market. If it's normal not to represent yourself, which is definitely true, so it's normal to take a lawyer. So Shimon knows that the cause of his claim is definitely going to cause Reuben to get a lawyer. That is, he understands, is muskam. So that is not something that you can do yourself. That's not the claim. But then you have to look at, is it normal to take 20,000 up front? So that we have to look at. So if it's normal that no lawyer out there would pay by partial jobs, it's just to do a counter defense and not to actually represent it. If we say there's no such lawyer out there, then we're going to say you're going to have to choose a lawyer. And you're going to have to choose a lawyer which has to do commit to do these jobs. And this is the price for committing these jobs. So then, of course, you're going to be fine. But if it's not necessarily totally standard, and there's all different options out there, there's a lawyer who just gives the defense claim but not necessarily represents you, and that's possibility, but you didn't choose that lawyer, then he's not going to be able to claim the money back from Shimon. So whether Reuben can claim back from Shimon, the money is up in the air. It depends on what's the standard.
Why should a person have to take the cheapest lawyer around? I mean, a person's going to court.
No, not the cheapest lawyer around. They're not the most expensive. A standard, a decent lawyer, which is Mukubab under these circumstances. And is it possible to split up that work or not split up that work? That's all we're discussing. Just as you won't represent yourself, you won't also normal to choose a lawyer, just come out of lawyer school. That's also not take that guy. You have to have a lawyer, which is Mukubab to take for these type of case. But the shaila is the payments, Mukubal. Is it possible to split it up? Are they in the same type of standard lawyer would be able to get a different type of payment structure, a different type of relationship, which will save money, then Enoch and Nami, Shimon's not going to have to pay for it. So it's decided. In the lawyer's case, it depends on what's Mukubal, because Tosis and Tor agree he needs to pay the lawyer. The lawyer can keep it. The shaila is, did Shimon definitely cause that? That's dependent on, we said, what's Mukubal shot. In the case of the Ganenet, we seem to say, it seems to be, you didn't get money from Rosh, you grabbed it afterwards. Maybe there's a machlokas between Tosis and Tor in such a case. We said, Bash and Zedot, but still, there's still logic out there to say, in Tosis, since he didn't give it Marosh, maybe the whole thing's off. Maybe Tosis is saying, whoever's got the money is Vadai. If I agree, Marosh, that you have the money, let's go the other way around. Let's be counterintuitive. Maybe Tosis is saying, since it's a Sophic, that who's the cause, then whoever agrees at the beginning, whoever the money is, then is a total agreement from either party that you're going to be the one who's not going to be blamed and I'm going to be for blame. Let's be devil advocates over here. Maybe Tosis says, if I give the money Mirage, then I'm agreeing that I'm the cause of all Onsen. If you agree that no money should pay Mirage, then you're saying as a worker, that you as a worker agreed that the worker is going to be blamed for the own sin. If so, then Tefisa will not help at all, and then we'll go back to being a machlokus between Tosis and Atorna Ganadikis. So to summarize, therefore, where we are, in the case of the lawyer case, both Tosis and Tor agree, since money was given up front, the lawyer is entitled to keep it. Where the Shinan has to compensate it, it depends whether it was Makubo to do what he did or not did. In case of the Ganenic case, we're saying over here that the Tor will hold whoever's got the money can keep it, and even therefore, since he's cashed it, the Ganenic can keep it. But Tosis will say that we go according to the original. Was money agreed that shouldn't be taken, or money was agreed that should be taken? Since he gave a check, then the parents are saying, we don't want money to be given. And if so, the worker is maybe agreeing, Matois Vatai, that if any onus happens, that she's going to take the blame. And therefore, Tavisa will not work in the eyes of Tosis, in the eyes of Tosis afterwards, and therefore cashing the check won't. So that's where we're going to leave it.
So we're not sure what Tosis is saying?
We weren't sure, but I'm saying the wording of Tosis is that is going on the case. If money is given, then whoever that Matoris Vadai belongs to the person who receives the money. If money is not given, is also going to be Matoris Vadai belonging to the person who's holding the money, i.e. the employer can keep the money, not the worker. Matoris Vadai, not even a sophic. So therefore, even although we're saying that Tosis was building his logic on the Tor, but after he's got his logic, he's saying whoever agrees at the beginning of the agreement where the money is, that's Matoris Vadai, not Sophic. So if the worker agrees that the Bala boss can keep it, then it's the worker is saying, it's your money, only Otsa comes, it's always going to be in my plighters, says the worker. And if the other way around, though he pays all the money, then obviously the Bala boss is saying, I agree that any onus happens, it's my plighters. If therefore, it's always Mavatai, and therefore it's never a scenario Sophic. And if it's never a scenario Sophic, Mufsik will never help, and Tavisa will never help, and it will never help her to cash the check, according to Tosis. So we'll have a downright machlokas between Tosis and the Tor in the case of the Ganenic case, but not in the case of the lawyer's case. So that's where we finish over here. Last thing, one word answer over here, and we finish the shiur like this. What's the halacha in the scenario of the dentist and the tippus ganav? Can the dentist keep the money or not keep the money?
Well, he should be able to keep the money because he's ready to be mekayim to know. It's the criminal that's the problem. He's the one that's not coming.
So there's two reasons he can keep the money. Firstly, he was given the money mirash by the ganav. And therefore, both Tosis and Tor would agree that now there's no machlokas. That's not the case of the Ganenic case. They will agree that he can keep the money. Secondly, the dentist is saying, is that, look, I'm willing to carry on. I can carry on. You're the one who's the problem. You're not here. If you're the one who's the problem, yeah. And even if I wouldn't be here, and there's another dentist who can do it. So therefore, I'm willing to carry on. So maybe that's a certain logic, which we'll discuss next month, which is relevant. Is that a certain logic? Is it exactly like the case of Yain Zer and Sfina Zu, where we say whoever received the money rush or doesn't receive the money can keep it? Yeah, but it's good enough at this stage to say, for the three cases, to summarize, dentist case, everyone agrees, belongs to the dentist, no machlokas, Tor and Tosis. In the case of the lawyer, everyone agrees the lawyer can keep it, the shayla whether Shimon has to compensate it. That's totally on whether it's normal or not. And in the case of the Ganenet, where she didn't have the money at the beginning, but only got it afterwards, that taka will be on machlokas between Tosis and Tor, whether the Ganenet can keep the money on such circumstances, because maybe the whole logic was, like Tosis, that says whoever gets the money, has the money at the beginning, is Matoris Vadai not taking responsibility, and the other guy is taking responsibility, and it's not Shaina. That is the summary of where we're finishing off this money. Had a Chag Kosher, the Sameach, a very wonderful, uplifting Gula Dika Pesach for all of us. Gula Pratis, Gula Klalis, Siat Yishvai, we should definitely see a closeness of the Gula, of the real Gula, and bringing the Kavan Pesach. and you should all have nachas from your children and your family, and simcha and hatzlocha and bris for the coming Yom Tov. This is Shem. See you after Pesach in the first opportunity we have in Iyar, and Tuli will keep us informed when that opportunity is. Don't know whether it's in shul, out shul, which day, not day, don't know. We'll see. This is Shem. Tuli will keep us informed. Thank you for joining us. Sorry for going over a bit over time, but it was last year, I think.
Yeah, Shakarach. Thank you.
Shakarach. Okay.